Good morning. Let me move this a little bit. So just as I was praying and considering about what I would share when I come back to speak to you guys this morning, I think I just was really focused on how do I impress them? All of them know that I went to Bible college. A lot of people know that I even took classes there on preaching, and I was so focused on, how can I show off all that I know or impress them? But I think God is pretty humorous sometimes in the way that he teaches us lessons. Even on my way here this morning, I spilt coffee all over myself, and then I had to call my mom and get her to bring me new clothes to wear. And even her and my boss are always, like, my boss at CF is always telling me, Rachel, you don't need to prove yourself. You don't need to try to impress everyone. And it's a good reminder of that this morning. So I'm just here today just to share with you guys a little bit of my heart for the ministry at CEF and just a little bit of what God has been teaching me through that ministry as well. And it's just an honor and a privilege just to be back here worshiping with you guys, my family here that I don't need to impress this morning. For those of you who don't know me, since I haven't been around a lot in recent years, I'm Rachel McGuire, and I've grown up attending this church, or the church across the road, for most of my younger years. And I just remember coming here as a little girl and having many of you as my teachers, whether it was in Sunday school or junior church. And I don't think I could have ever imagined way back then what God would do in me to bring me to where I am today, and certainly not up here sharing with you guys this morning. You see, this story of my walk with God began in a little classroom in the basement across the street. And I can remember very clearly that day that God, by his Holy Spirit, revealed to me my need of a Savior when I heard the gospel message presented in junior church. And being just the shy little girl that I was, I went back home and prayed by myself, asking God to be my Savior. And then I continued to grow. I came to God's Adventure Club, and where I was taught by people like Herb Gibson and Peter and Penny. And I had my favorite Sunday school teacher, as he always told me, Kevin Horsberg, and taught by many others like Rod and John Buxton. And my eyes were opened to missions by Jen, who taught us about the street kids in Brazil. And then I continued to youth group, and I was taught by so many others. And I know that there's tons of people here that I could mention today who just played a really big role in my life as I was growing in my walk with God. God really blessed me in giving me great parents who love the Lord and who taught me how to walk in his ways. But he also has given me so many spiritual parents here who just continue to walk with me on this journey and who have seen me grow from being this little girl in Sunday school to being the young woman that God is continuing to make me today. And so before I begin this morning, I just want to thank each one of you, far beyond any list of names, for the important role that you've played in my spiritual walk with the Lord. Because the little girl who accepted Jesus in a little church basement is now on mission to share Jesus with Ontario's children through CEF. And so I want to share with you just a little bit about my journey of how I began working with Child Evangelism Fellowship, or CEF. And so that journey also began in that church basement across the street, not only in God revealing to me that children can accept the Lord as their Savior, but also in exposing me to what CEF is all about. At the time, my view of CEF was just Miss Kinney's tiny little office in the basement, and that was kind of all that I knew about it, just this sweet little lady. But as I grew older and I was exposed to CEF on a greater scale, I fell in love with the work that they do to spread the gospel to children, not only here in Ontario, but across the world. I was able to see some of the young people, just like Maxie and Riley, who you guys had come here, who dedicated their summers to teaching five-day clubs and VBSs, and God began to stir in me a passion just to serve him in that way. And I served with CEF for 3 summers in high school, teaching clubs and working with Camp Good News, which my brother and sister-in-law are now directing, for at-risk kids. And just as First Baptist Church was really instrumental in my walk with the Lord and my faith journey, CEF became just another piece of that journey that helped me to grow in my faith. I then attended Heritage Bible College and at the time didn't know entirely what it was that God wanted me to do, but I just knew that I wanted to be able to serve him in ministry in some capacity. And so throughout my time at Heritage, I continued to learn and to grow, and I maintained involvement with CEF and eventually interned with them for a school year. And although I've always been passionate about the work of CEF, when it came time for me to decide where to go after graduation this past May, CEF was always pushed to the very back of my mind because I'm a poor college student just graduating, and the thought of having to raise support to work just seemed far too overwhelming. And it reached a point around December when I could no longer ignore the possibility of working with CEF, because when I was praying about where God was leading me, he continued to bring CEF back to the front of my mind. And so I gave in and thought, okay, I can go and talk with the provincial director, Ivan, about part-time opportunities to work with them where I can still have a real job and make money and not have to worry about it, but still give some of my time to the Lord. But then when I met with him, he presented me with a number of different opportunities that would be part-time, but then also mentioned the position of youth director, which at the time I didn't even know was open. But when he told me about the position, I just knew that this is exactly what God had been preparing me for and what he was calling me to. But the catch was that it couldn't be part-time. It had to be full-time. And so I was going to have to trust God in the long process of raising financial support, having just graduated from school. And so here I am now, post-graduation, about to be living in my parents' basement, trying to raise support, but I'm loving every minute of it. Or at least most of them. It's not to say that there aren't days that are really hard. There's lots of them. But God has also given me so much joy, and I count it an honor and a privilege to be able to serve him in this way. And so I just want to share with you guys a few stories of just what God, some of the joys that God has given me so far as youth director since starting this May. So I just have a few pictures. The first one is of Nathan. And Nathan actually was a child who attended a VBS that I taught back when I was a summer missionary. And he came to our summer ministry training this year to serve as a summer missionary, which was a really cool opportunity for me. He's a first-year CYA serving with us this summer. And I visited him just a week ago, and he was just absolutely brimming with joy as he was serving God this summer. He shared with me that he has never walked so closely with God as he has this summer, and that God has been filling him with just so much joy as he learns to serve him. He was super nervous about coming to training, and he was nervous about learning all of the materials and teaching the clubs, but as he's done this, he told me that God has just filled him with joy, but has also taught him humility, and it's just incredible to see just the growth in the young people that work with us. The next picture is of a girl. Her name is Eden, and this is her second year serving with us, and she wrote telling us why she chose to work with us again this summer, and she said, "Some people may ask, why would you give up your summer to go and teach? Isn't that a lot of work?" And she said, "To answer that, I'd say yes, it is a lot of work, but when you go and talk to a child and they accept Jesus into their lives, there's no better feeling. It's amazing to see their faces light up and Jesus fill their life. And in that moment, it's so worth it. All those long nights, all those days of training, it all becomes so worth it. It's so rewarding and an incredible feeling to know that you've impacted these kids' lives in such a powerful way. Why wouldn't you give up your summer to go and fill these kids with Jesus? Me, I totally would, and that's why I chose to serve with CEF this summer." And then the next one is a girl named Abigail. She is serving with us for the second time this summer, and I had the opportunity to go and visit her just close to Southampton, and she was teaching a club there, and it was a new club that was on a native reserve, and the kids there were absolutely crazy. Like, I walked in, and I was just overwhelmed at what was going on. Like, kids running around everywhere, and they were drawing pictures of the Illuminati on the sidewalk, and, like, their conversations were just super crazy and saddening. But Abigail took that opportunity with the sidewalk chalk, and she began to draw out these images that represent the wordless book, and she started to share the gospel with these kids. And for most of them, it was the first time that they had ever heard about God's love. And so it's just been incredible to see just the way that God is working through these young people, just in their personal lives and in their walk with Him, but also just in the way that I've been able to see them impacting the kids that they're reaching as well. And then this past week, I had the opportunity to teach chapels for the older kids at a day camp that was on the New Credit Reserve, which is close to the CEF facility. And I met two sisters there. I'll call them M and K. And these girls just, like, grabbed a hold of my heart from the very first day. So I was leading a small group with them, and they were very quiet the whole time and wouldn't really say too much. And so I asked them at the end, okay, well, how can I be praying for you guys? And it was just completely silent, and they wouldn't say anything. And I could just tell that they were really embarrassed and almost afraid to share with me. But eventually one of them nudged the other one, and she finally shared that she'd like me to pray that her mom gets better. And so I asked her, okay, well, what's wrong with your mom? Like, is she sick? Like, how can I be praying for her to be better? And she said, no, she's just all boozed up. She got into an accident last week, and now she's in physio. And her eyes were filled with tears. And so, sorry. And that's just one story of the kids that were on the reserve this past week. Even there was an opportunity we had to talk with the girls and ask them, when you look in the mirror in the morning, like, what do you see? And we were talking to them about how God sees them. And so they were writing it out on a piece of paper. And almost each girl there wrote down that what they see is pain and sadness. And so then when we asked them what God sees when He looks at them, one girl wrote down on her piece of paper that God sees her as beautiful. And so we asked them, okay, can you guys share with the group? And when we asked, so when we asked them to share with the group, she couldn't even say out loud the words that God says that I'm beautiful, because she just didn't believe that. And at home, she was told the exact opposite. And so it was just really heartbreaking just to see the situation these kids were in, but also just an incredible opportunity to share God's love with them. We were able to share the gospel with these kids, and even though most of them never heard the words, I love you, from their parents at home, we were able to share with them for the first time that God loves them, that their Heavenly Father loves them and cares for them. And so it was an incredible opportunity just to be able to share with them. And so even though maybe my heart is saddened by some of these situations, I'm also just filled with so much joy as I serve God with CEF. Yeah, it might help to get, like, pull myself together. Thanks. And so as youth director, it's my job to recruit and to mentor the young people who do come and serve with us. And it was an awesome opportunity for me to be able to actually teach this past week, just because I've been missing that and missing being able to spend time with the kids as well. But yeah, it's just been an incredible opportunity just to see the young people working with us continue to grow in their walk with the Lord. And so this is something that I'm super passionate about. And as I've shared before, this passion for it began in my in this church, and just the role that you guys have played in mentoring me and discipling me in my faith. And as I reflect on just how great God is. The incredible blessing that this job has been to me over the past few months, I'm reminded of the limitations that I place on God and that I have been placing on him from the very beginning of my walk with him. Never would I have imagined all that he would do in me that long ago Sunday when I chose to believe in him. Never would I have believed in Jen's Sunday school class that I would be a missionary even here in Ontario. Never would I have believed that graduating from college I would be working full-time with CEF. And even now, I continue to put limitations on him, like, okay, I'm working for CEF now, but I don't see how you're going to provide for me, or I'm working in this full-time career and I don't feel capable, I'm only 21, and I fail to trust that he'll equip me with all that I need. Or when we have to send those kids home at the end of camp with just that deep pain and sadness in their eyes, I fail to believe that God can care for them more than I can. And I don't think I'm the only one who puts these kinds of limits on God and all that he's able to do. So often we look at our circumstances and we make up in our minds what is within the realm of possibility for God to accomplish, but we're afraid to trust him with anything more than what our own human reasoning could imagine or put together. And so this morning I would like to share with you a little bit of what God has been teaching me about faith and about removing the limitations that I've placed on him. And so if you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to start reading in verse 1 and 2, verse 18. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took it in his hand, the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So back in the spring, I actually spoke on this same passage with a youth group when I was sharing with them about the opportunity to serve with us. And after studying the passage, I had shared with them about loving God more than the gifts that he gives to us and Abraham's love for God that exceeded his love for his son Isaac. And over just the past few months, I've continued just to think on this passage, and I've really been challenged to consider just the kind of limits that I've put on God, and his plans, and the limits that I place on his provision and his ability to work for the good of his people. When you think about the story of Abraham, we know that God promised to make a great nation through him, but it was already seemed like a complicated situation. Sarah was really old, and then she ended up giving her servant to Abraham, and Ishmael was born. But even in all of this, God had followed through on his promise and given them Isaac as a son. But as you read this passage, it seems as though God was just going to throw that whole plan out the window when he asked Abraham to go and to sacrifice his son as an offering. And just as I think about this passage, I think about how quick I am to question God about things. But it seems as though Abraham just went so willingly to do as God told him to, even though it seemed contradictory to what would make sense in his human understanding. And this was something that God had promised to him. Like, Isaac was God's promise that he was going to make a great nation through him. And he was a precious gift from God. But Abraham chose to value God himself even more than the gifts and the promises that he had been given. And I'm not a parent, so I can't fully identify with sacrificing my own child, but even just trying to imagine the kind of faith that would take just overwhelms me. And so it causes me to think, do I trust God enough to submit to his plans and his will for me, even when it doesn't make the least bit of sense from my human standpoint? Or have I limited faith to be only that which is within my own small little framework of human reasoning? And can I really say that it's faith if it fits inside that tiny little box that I've created? And so it was in faith that Abraham believed God for his son Isaac. And it was in faith that he willingly took his only son up on that mountain, bound him, and was willing to sacrifice him to the Lord. There wasn't a lot of details given. He was just told to go to the mountain that God would tell him to go to. And if you're anything like me, that would drive you crazy, because I love to plan and I love to have things in order and to be in control. But is that faith when we try to put God inside this little box that we're able to control, or where we have to know each and every one of the details? Is it faith to have to know exactly what the next steps look like, or to demand from God understanding or a clear picture of what tomorrow holds? And then Abraham tells his servants in verse 5 that he and Isaac will go and make a sacrifice and then return to them. So I'll just read that verse again. It says, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And so from this, it just seems as though Abraham already has faith that him and Isaac will come back to the servants, and that God will provide. And then in verse 8, when Isaac is questioning where the actual sacrifice is, Abraham responds to him and he says, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so his faith, just that God would provide, is just so clear even throughout this passage. In faith, Abraham was trusting that God wasn't going to leave him empty-handed, and trusting that God was going to fulfill his promises to him, and that regardless, that he was good and right in his plans. And Abraham even went so far as to bind up his son, to raise the knife in order to slaughter him. And he was willing to give his son as that offering to God. In faith, trusting that God in his sovereignty was good, and trusting that God would provide for him. And we can see in this passage that God does provide. And he provided the lamb for that offering. But in an even greater way, God provided for us that sacrifice. He provided the greater lamb in sending his son to die for our sin. And yet, even though we have this greater fulfillment of God's provision for us, we've seen it in him giving his son, we still continue to question his goodness to us and his provision for us. We fail to see him for all that he is and all that he's capable of doing, and we put limitations on God. If you look again, at verse 11, the angel of the Lord recognizes Abraham's fear of the Lord. It says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And so, because of Abraham's fear of the Lord and his faith that he wouldn't withhold his son, for that he's rewarded. And it continues in verses 16 to 18. It says, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. All that was promised to Abraham was found in Isaac. He was promised to have a great nation, yet he was still willing to surrender even Isaac back to God. And so I just want you to consider what it is that you are withholding from God today. Is it your time or your resources? Is it your willingness to share the gospel with the people that you know who aren't saved? Is it your family or your career or your security? So often we can be bound up in our human fear and we're afraid that God won't come through, that he won't be enough, and we put limits on him and refuse to believe that a being exists that goes beyond our human reasoning and comprehension. I can tell you so many ways that I've bound up God inside of the little box that I'm able to imagine or comprehend. I limit him and question his ability to come through all the time. But slowly, ever so slowly, I'm learning to trust that God is bigger and greater and so much more capable than this tiny brain could imagine. He's far more capable of caring for all of the kids that walk through our doors at CEF. He's more than capable to provide for all of my needs. He's more than capable of filling me with wisdom and discernment and all that I need to serve him in this role. And he will continue to be more than sufficient for all of my needs, both now and forever. And so I want you to consider, have you put your faith in the limitless God? Did you realize that that this same God sent his son to be the lamb to take the punishment for the sins of the world, for the sins of you and me? I encourage you to put your faith in him today and to stop limiting him, because he is able to cover your sin. And I want you to consider, have you put your full faith and commitment and trust in this limitless God? Have you submitted all of your circumstances and all that you have to him who is in complete control? When we choose to put our faith in the limitless God, the results of what he can do in us become limitless. And so choose to trust him today. So this is just a little bit of what God has been teaching me, just putting our faith and trust in him and not binding him to what we can understand. And so I just pray that you'll just be able to, just to continue to learn to trust more of who he is and to allow him outside of that little box that we can find ourselves putting him in. And so I'm just going to pray for us. God, I thank you so much that we can come before you, our creator, who made all the stars and all of the galaxies and everything that goes even beyond our ability to see. God, you are behind it all. You created it all, and you are so much more powerful than our tiny brains could ever comprehend. And God, I pray that that you would just help us in our humanness not to try to control you or our circumstances, and that we wouldn't try to limit you or limit your ability to work, God, but that we would just be able to fully submit ourselves to you, trusting that you will come through, trusting that you will provide for us and that that you care for us and that your plans are so much greater and go far beyond what we could ever have planned for ourselves. And so, God, I just pray just for your blessing on this congregation. I pray that you would be with each one and just help them to continue to trust you more and more each day. And I just pray and ask all these things in your holy name. Amen.